You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
That is so good. Oh, man, that's good. That is Tim Hortons, Canada's nectar of goodness. And I wish I could, like Coke, give one to all. Give a Coke and a smile. I want to give a Tim Hortons and a smile to you, Pastor Dan Wolven, my good friend in Columbus, Ohio. How are you?
I am doing just super, and I have some very, very good news to tell you. That crash that you may have heard came from this podcast. Yes, we have broken through the glass ceiling. Tim Talks.
Really?
Tim Talks is now the largest independent Baptist, non-sermon preaching, non-church ministry, KJV only, discussion-style podcast between two pastors who are citizens of different countries in North America.
Wow, that's amazing. How many other podcasts are there like that?
There aren't any.
Oh.
But we are the best.
We are the best. We are number one. Oh, that's the first time you've been number one at anything in your life.
Because we are number one, we now have some sponsors that want us to advertise. So just let me pay a couple of bills by giving this commercial, if you don't mind.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This episode is being brought to you by Snooze Tones, an alarm app available on iPhone or Android devices designed to ring on max volume even if you place your phone on silent, with an alarm that only rings on Sunday mornings randomly between 11:15 and 12 p.m. Snooze Tones, when it's not enough merely to wake up in church, but when you want to agitate the entire congregation. So thank you, Snooze Tones, for being our first sponsor.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty that's pretty impressive. The hotline's already lighting up. I think everybody in my church already has that app, though.
I think so. We've got quite a few subscribers in our church too.
I had a guy in my church one time that wanted to give a remote control to everybody so he could control the preacher, thinking that he was a Game Boy application or something.
Well, that sounds like an intelligent man.
Yeah, that was you. That was a good one.
Oh, no wonder it sounds like an intelligent man.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Hey, listen, we should be getting some money from Tim Hortons. I've endorsed them almost every podcast. And what do I get? Nothing.
Well, they just put cocaine in your coffee and make you keep drinking it.
That's what it is. So I tell people, I don't know if it's the coffee or the cocaine they put in it, but oh, man, it's good. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's just good. It's just good. Don't tell me about your Starbucks, and don't tell me about your, what do you guys have, Dunkin' Donuts. Don't tell me about that. It's no good. Hey, let's pick up where we left off last time. We were talking about public invitation. I want to ask you this. Do you judge your sermon by the response of the altar call?
Well, I would like to say no, but it's human nature for most preachers to do so. Right there is the understanding of what was the purpose of your message. Obviously, the purpose of every message has to be a good response upon the listener. But, you know, that response can be much different. I look back at my life. I grew up in an independent Baptist church. So for 55 years of my life, I've attended independent Baptist churches. And I would say that I characterized myself as somebody who was never afraid of going to the altar. But realistically, I probably went to the altar out of 52 weeks and three sermons a week, maybe 10, 12 times a year. So does that mean that all of those other sermons did not have an impact upon me? No. But it is human nature, as whenever we're done delivering the scriptures, that we would want to judge or rate our involvement by what we see. But there are many things going on spiritually that we do not see.
I would have to disagree with that and say that I don't think those messages did have an impact on your life, because I know the amount of trouble that you've gotten into. You need that app. You need to get that app, that alarm app. That's what you need. Hey, let me ask you this. Did you ever fall asleep in church? I mean, other than when maybe you're a real little kid, did you ever fall asleep in church?
Yes.
I never have.
Hey, you're something else.
I really am.
Well, there's a fellow at Cleveland Baptist that told Brother Thompson, now, in my opinion, when somebody goes to sleep in church, it's just a sign that they're at peace with God.
I love Bob Folger.
No, that was Brother Roy Lee.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. No, I never have, but I've come close a few times. I've had to really fight it a few times, but no, I never have. Hey, I'll tell you the same thing that I used to judge my sermon by the response of my call, but I've learned over the years that people today, especially I think in this millennial and I generation coming, I think they are more apt to take it home and think about it and dwell on it a little bit before they make a decision. And I don't mind that at all. As long as they're making something, I tell people, I want to see application. I want you to get it and apply. And I just had a young man in our church who's a godly young man say the other day that, I was thinking about what you said a couple of weeks ago, and I've been mulling that over, and the Lord really spoke to me. So don't take just that, but it's good. It's good that people take that and think about that. Let me ask you, tell me step by step what you would do in your invitation. How would that take place?
Okay, let's see. So something like the ideal invitation is what you're saying then?
Yes.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think that I give an ideal invitation, but I have talked to many, many evangelists and pastors and tried to get up ideas, and I think we need to be careful that we don't fall into the foolishness of thinking that a public invitation, we can get a lot better responses when we start getting people to respond, as though it's some kind of a psychological atmosphere to present. But there is a good thing for believers to lead the way. And the most effective people that I've seen in drawing people to the altar, of course, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, but providing a good and a clear instruction, they begin with asking people to bow their head, and they ask how many are saved. And of course, I'm abbreviating for time's sake. Ask how many people are saved and have them put their hand up, put it back down. And then out of those that are saved, how many feel that they need to make a decision today, something specific in their life, and have them raise their hand. And then they'll ask about those that are not saved or not sure that they're saved. So there's already been responders to this question. So it's not as though those visitors, which most likely many non-believers would be visitors in the service, and to feel uncomfortable right off the bat, you've already spoken to others. And so to have someone, if they're not sure, to raise their hand, and that at least they're beginning, you understand that there now are some people in the congregation who are facing this. And then I think the most effective thing is as you had had people stand so people would be able to come forward easily, that you'd have one person sing an invitation hymn and the others can remain in an attitude of prayer, although we do many times our congregation sings. But I think in the ideal invitation of drawing unsaved people forward, less is more, creating a little bit more of a responsive attitude.
Right. One thing that I've learned over the years that's been very helpful for me is I will ask people questions, and I will ask them, are you saved? And they'll respond. Are you living for the Lord the way you should? And try to narrow it down. That's pretty broad. But I'll get them to respond. So if they say, yes, I'm saved, or no, I'm saved, I'll say, now, some of you did not raise your hand. Where are you in that? You either are or you aren't. You're thinking about it. Let me speak to you for a moment. Or I will, as people come forward, I'll say, now, you that are standing there, here's what you're saying to me. And you're saying that this message did not apply to you, or that this is right in your life, or whatever. If that's what you're saying, praise the Lord, that's awesome. I am so glad. But if not, here's your opportunity to come. And that has really, I think, helped a lot of people really take serious and focus on that invitation time and help them to draw in a little bit more. So
yes, you're making that application of the sermon to the individual. Probably another thing that really needs to be addressed is to be very specific and give good and clear instructions.
Yes.
There are many that give a tremendous invitation, but Brother Dave Young, evangelist, he has always been very thorough in his invitation. When he would give the opportunity to respond, he would explain why we have an invitation, what is going on,
right,
what to expect, and those kind of things that many times those of us that are already churched take for granted. Mm-hmm. And so he has always been so clear and plain and compassionate. He's always done just a tremendous job every time I've ever heard him. And then whenever you add in that invitation, really, the Lord's hand is on him.
Yeah, he's very good at that. Yeah, same thing when we have new people, or I see the people there that don't know, I'll say, now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, we're going to stand, we're going to turn our song books, people are going to begin moving forward, and then that's your opportunity to come. Because I try to put myself in that place. Here I am, maybe the first time ever in a church. I don't know anyone. I don't know what the standard procedure is. I don't know why people are doing things they're doing. So to take that burden off and ease them, definitely that explanation really does help. I have sometimes one person sing or the congregational sing, but sometimes I just like to have just the music too.
Mm-hmm.
There's no disruption that way.
Yes.
They're fully concentrating. So there's no set pattern, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You can do whatever works for you. But I do hear a lot of guys, they'll get done preaching, they'll have a great message, and they'll say, they'll pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for this service. Amen. Now we'll have an invitation." And then they give nothing, and to me that's almost hurtful to the response. You've got to have that time to plead with folks to come and say, "Hey, listen, we want to help you," and pour those things out.
I have been told by some of the old time preachers that they had always said, "Your invitation begins in the last 8 to 10 minutes of your sermon."
Right, right. I agree 100%. And your sermon should be written that way. It should be flowing that way. Absolutely. Hey, we have about a minute and a half left. What would you do differently in your service during the altar call if you could?
Well, I'll tell you exactly. I believe in a public invitation by the grace of God. I never intend to change that, but I would love, if we could build a new building, I would build rooms very close to
yes.
the altar where people can go and deal with others. Now, if a believer comes, a church member, they're weeping for the loss, they're taking a time of rededication. But whenever you're dealing with an unbeliever, a visitor, a guest, and the people are singing, the instruments are playing, the preacher sometimes is exhorting people to come forward, it is very difficult to hear that person that you're dealing with. There's been many times I've dealt with people at the altar, and I felt like I almost had to put my ear right on their nose so I could hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
So not that everybody would come, you can't kneel and those things, I'm not saying that, but those that have issues, maybe somebody who they're going through some kind of just tremendous family situation, and they're going to need a lot of prayer. They need a lot of comfort and encouragement, maybe quite a few scriptures. It would be so good for them to be able to have a place that would lend itself to privacy where they can take as much time as they need, and the entire congregation or that person at the altar is not pressured. I've got to hurry up and be done in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. Well, for those young men that are listening, here's some advice from two guys who have done it for a while. Again, we haven't cornered the market. We're not saying you have to do it this way, but it's definitely something that you can think about and maybe try to implement some of those things. This is Tim Talks. I'm Pastor Al Stone from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, and with me is my good friend always,
Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio.
This is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.